All right, I want us to turn this morning to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And I want to begin reading in verse 65. And then I want to preach a message this morning that I hope will be a blessing to you. It's a word of instruction, and it will help us, I think, be a benefit to us and give us a little bit of understanding about how God works in our lives. And while you're turning there, let me encourage you to tune in tonight at 6. I'm going to take tonight at 6 to kind of give you my perspective on the fact that we are being told that we have to quarantine and cannot meet as a church family. And I'm getting not a lot, but some emails and phone calls and text messages and wondering why I don't defiantly just say fooey on all this and we have church. Well, there's a reason, and I'm gonna tell you that reason tonight. So I hope that you will tune in at 6, and I'll show you tonight why we're doing what we're doing here. All right, let's begin reading, please. Psalm 119, and let's start reading in verse 65, and we'll read down to verse 72, and this is the section. You'll notice that if you have a Bible with the margins and so forth, you'll notice that all these paragraphs, and there's a bunch of them, but they all have at the top of the section of the paragraph, they have the Hebrew letter, the Hebrew alphabet, and the amazing thing is, in the Hebrew Bible, if it has, like our verse 65, has a teth, and that's the Hebrew letter for a T, and so with every one of these, the first word of the verse will start with that letter. So you'll look down at verse 73, and there is just this little mark, and that little mark is called the Yod, and it's a vowel, if you will. And then the next one is a Kaf, and then the next one is a Lamed. Lamed is an L sound, and so the first word for every one of these sections, the first word starts with the letter in the Hebrew, not in English, but in the Hebrew, it starts with the letter that is designated over the top. And of course, they are all in order, they as they appear in the Hebrew alphabet. So if you want to learn how to write the Hebrew alphabet, and you want to learn how they sound, right here's where you can write them all down and learn Hebrew, all right? Good luck. And then look at verse 65, please, though, and we'll start. Here, the psalmist says, "Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments." Now, right here is my text verse, verse 67, and the psalmist says, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. You know, this morning, there are preachers all over our country who are using their live stream capabilities to get the message, their message out to their people. And in order to get the message from their pulpits into, or from their living rooms, some of them are doing it from their easy chairs, but in order to get their message out to their church members, they have to use one of the search engine sites like Google or Twitter or Facebook or Bing or Safari. They have to use one of the outlets which enable them to get their message out. So think about this. With thousands and thousands of sermons going out every Sunday morning, what we're finding out is the big tech companies are now scrutinizing these messages. You've got Facebook, you've got Twitter, you've got Instagram, all these things are now monitoring, and they are flagging certain things that are going over the air. If they hear something that their progressive liberal minds don't like, they are sending messages to the church, and now I'm probably going to get one, but they are sending messages to the church or to the preacher to let them know that they have that they don't agree, that their message is not according to the stated policy of that company, and they are in some cases pulling the plug on some pastors and some churches and their ability to broadcast their services. Now, I wonder why they don't do this with the pornographic sites. For you see, they are certainly offensive to a large majority of people. Why do they not do this with the Discovery Channel or the National Geographic Channel and all of those sites, the Weather Channel, and all those sites that produce preachers of the gospel of evolution? Why don't they take care of them? Why don't they send them a message? You see, those channels are offensive to millions of believers in Christ around the world. We don't believe in evolution, but yet that theory is pushed off as though it were fact. And nobody does anything about that. Nobody complains about that. No, my question is, are they just trying to shut down those who preach the gospel and who believe that the Bible is the Word of God? So I'm telling you this morning, America and the rest of the world, and here's my point, America and the rest of the world has gone astray. Our country has gone astray from where we were founded. Look at that 67th verse. The Bible says, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray." Before I was afflicted, I went astray. Now, folks, there is no doubt about the moral and the spiritual decline of our country and of our world today. It is amazing to me that the Old Testament scriptures tell us over and over and over that when the people of God transgressed, when they went astray from the Lord, then the Lord would afflict them, and would and the people realized that their affliction was not just happenstance. It wasn't just a turn of bad luck. No, they realized that the affliction that was being sent their way was of God. God was sending them a message. And then when the affliction got so powerful that the children of Israel could not handle, they could not deal with the judgment, and folks began to die, that is usually when they realized who is in control, and the nation would repent of its sin and would come back to God. And folks, that kind of thing went on all during the Old Testament era. The entire book of Judges is about this very thing. The Israelite people would get away from God. They would wander off. They would go astray, as David puts it here. And then God would send judgment, affliction upon them. And then they would come back to God. And over a several hundred year period, this happened over and over and over again. Read the book of Judges and notice all the times that God called somebody to stand up and judge. That's why it's called Judges. They would stand up and judge the people because of their sin. And this continued throughout the period of the kings. So it started early. I mean, you can go back and see this transpiring over and over and over, and bring it through the book of Joshua, through the book of Judges, through 1 and 2 Samuel with David, and then Solomon and all the kings to follow. And it continued on for so long that, and the nation just continued to get so far away from God that when finally the affliction came, it never crossed their minds that God was trying to get their attention. You see, they got so far astray that they did not realize when the judgment came upon them, when the affliction that was sent by God upon them hit, they were so far away from the Lord that they didn't even realize that God was at work and was trying to get their attention. And I'm afraid that this is where we are in America today. I am afraid this is where we are. It has never entered into anyone's mind that we just might be under the judgment and the hand of God Almighty. It just may be that God is saying to our nation, hey, you better come back to me. Could this be God's final warning to America, to the world? But you see, sadly, the devil has been so successful at removing God from our hearts and from our minds. The devil has been so successful that nobody today, it seems, has taken the time to consider that this entire pandemic just may have been sent as a message to get the country to come back to God. I wonder if anybody's thought about that. You see, God used affliction and judgment for centuries to get his people's attention. And are we now to assume that because it's 2020 and we're such an advanced culture today and we're so enlightened and we have just risen above the sheer simplicity of the Bible, is it possible that we are at the place where we assume that God work like that back years ago, but not in this enlightened age? And are we to assume that God no longer works in this fashion? Well, I think we better be careful about making a decision in that direction. You see, David said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. Before I was afflicted, but now have I kept thy word. Now, I want us to look at this 67th verse, and I want you to see three little things here that I hope will get us to view and to see our trials, our troubles, our afflictions through the right perspective. First, I want you to notice this. Look at your Bible, please. Look at verse 67. David says, before I was afflicted. Now, I want you to notice first the sin before the affliction. The sin before the affliction. David says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. You see, he boldly confesses that he has sinned against God, and he admits his sinfulness to all. So I want to point out a couple of things to you about the sin before the affliction. First of all, I want you to see the period of his sin. He simply says, Before. You know, folks, think about it. We human beings don't have a very good record of conduct when the road is easy and when things are going great. If you will look at our country for just a moment, after World War II, America began to prosper like never before. And many Americans suddenly found themselves in good paying jobs, and the nation, the country settled down, and people were building homes and finding themselves having a little the means to live a very comfortable life. And we had a long run of peace and prosperity that kicked off just after World War II. Americans came out of that war with a new appreciation for the freedoms that we enjoy in our country. Our nation all of a sudden realized several things. And one of the things that our nation realized was the matter of church. And you go back into late 40s and the 50s and the 60s, and you will find that just about every church, now there were some that were the exception, of course, but just about every church, whether it was a Baptist church or an Independent Baptist or a Southern Baptist, or whether it was a Methodist or a Presbyterian, just about every church preached the gospel and believed the Bible to be the Word of God. But it did not take long before the nation abandoned the Bible and abandoned the church and abandoned the gospel and abandoned God. You see, there was this movement that arose of rebellion in the 60s, rebelling against all authority that was then followed by the sexual revolution of the 60s and that carried over into the 70s. And soon the culture moved into the churches. The world's culture moved into the churches, and in one generation, our nation has almost completely turned its back on God. Millions of Americans, think about this now, millions of Americans have never stepped foot inside a church. Millions. David sinned when he was living the easy life. And folks, I'm telling you, that's where we are today. We have had it so good, and we have need for nothing as a people. And the end result is we have wandered away from God. And David did the same thing back in his day when he was living an easy life. You see, finally, when David was sworn in as the king of Judah and then the king of Israel, and he had all 12 tribes underneath his authority, that was a period where peace was in the land. And all of David's enemies were defeated. The people of Israel, they would sit back in David's day and enjoy the fruit of David's victories and God's hand upon him. Things were so calm, you remember, that when that time of the year rolled around, when the king was to go out with his army and make sure that everybody and everything was under control, David felt like things were so good that he didn't have to go. And so the armies went, they went out and patrolled, but David stayed in Jerusalem. And everything was just in ideal condition. But you will remember when David stayed home and sent the armies out, that was when he looked off the balcony of his palace and he saw Bathsheba on her rooftop. You see, folks, prosperity more than poverty imperils our character and so often leads us to do things that we know we should not do. Let me say that again. Prosperity more than poverty imperils our character and so often leads us to do things that we know we should not do. But then notice, secondly, we have the period of his sin. But then notice, secondly, I want you to see the path of his sin. David says, look at your Bible. David says in verse 67, he said, before I was afflicted, right there is the period of his sin. But then he said, I went astray. I went astray. Isn't it amazing how the world glamorizes this path that David found himself on? Isn't it amazing how the world glamorizes this path? They write about it. They write stories about it, novels about it. They make, Hollywood makes movies about the path of sin that people go down. Television shows for primetime television, they do all they can to make the path of sin look glamorous and glorious. They do their absolute best to make the path of sin look appealing and so much fun, but listen, folks, it is still astray. I mean, it doesn't make any difference how glamorous Hollywood or television makes the path of sin look. It is still astray. You say, Pastor, astray from what? It is astray from the Word of God. It is astray from the Bible. And folks, we need to understand that the Word of God is still our standard. Failure to abide in the Word of God, in the Bible, is to walk astray. And that's where we are, folks. That's where we are. Nobody has stopped to consider what God may be doing in this affliction that we're facing. Nobody has stopped to think about it. But when David said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. I think we ought to sit down and look at ourselves and realize that maybe it's our sin that has brought on our affliction. Second thing I want you to see, I want you to notice, secondly, the suffering in the affliction. The suffering. Now, we looked first at the sin of before the affliction, but now notice the suffering in the affliction. Look at your Bible. He said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. You know what David said right there? David said, I was afflicted. Now, folks, we all know that an affliction is something that is not pleasant. All right? You never hear anybody say, I'm going to get afflicted this afternoon. I'm excited about it. No, nobody ever says that. David said, I was afflicted. And you see him walking astray, and that walking astray is what brought his affliction. So many people today will have trial or trouble or affliction come upon them, and they will say, I sure am having a run of bad luck. No, you're not. No, you're not. Christians, God's people, do not live in the realm of good luck and bad luck. It's just not there. That is something that the devil wants you to think is going on. But listen, folks, Paul was so right when he said in Romans 1:28 that even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. You see, folks, God is in control here. God is the one running this show. The liberals go around trying to prop God up. God doesn't need propped up. God's in good shape today. And he doesn't need anybody to put a board behind his back and hold him up. No, he's doing just fine. And the truth is that sometimes God has to take his people to the woodshed. Sometimes there are times when God has to take us to the woodshed where we get a little discipline get our attitude correct. My mom used to call that an attitude adjustment. And she would take that belt and she would say, it's time for an attitude adjustment. And I knew exactly what that meant. But you see, that's child abuse today. You can't do that today. Somebody will turn you in, or your own child will turn you in. And then the almighty, all-powerful, seeing eye of Maryland will come and take you away. But listen, folks, God sometimes has to spank us. Now, hold your place here. And I want you to turn over to the New Testament for just a moment, to the book of Hebrews. And I want you to look for just a moment here in chapter 12, Hebrews in chapter 12. And I want to read just a couple of verses and show you that God has to discipline us sometime. All right, have you found it? All right, let's begin. In Hebrews 12, verse 6, notice what the Bible says. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Now, let me ask you a question. Does God love you? Well, of course he does. So whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he received. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. So it just may well be, you say, well, God doesn't ever spank me. Well, maybe you're not in the family. All right, you better think about that. Maybe you were sold a wooden nickel by the devil. And so that's why you don't endure any chastening from the Lord. But folks, realize, understand that the Bible is very clear on this matter about chastening. God chastens us when we go astray. And could it be that what we are seeing right now in our country and in our lives is the chastening hand of God, as God is saying to this country, hey, come back. Come back to me. You need to get back over here. You've gone astray. You have wandered away from me. It's time for you to get back. Look at verse 9. Verse 9 says, verse 9. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? You see, folks, sometimes God can take you out. Sometimes God can say, that's enough. And I'm just wondering, could it be that God is saying, well, let me get your attention here. And if you're not going to pay attention, then your chances are up. And I'm telling you, folks, the day is coming when God will indeed say that. We need to understand that God is a God of purpose. And by that, I mean that everything God does has a purpose to it. When we go astray, when we walk astray, God brings affliction. That's what this verse is telling us. Now, think of it, folks. Can our country, can we as a nation sit around and sanction the gay rights agenda, put their perversion on display in our homes through the television set, and sit there and watch it in prime time on sitcoms, or sit there and watch it on television commercials? I'm telling you, that's just wicked as it can be, folks. That's just as wicked as it can be. It is programming this nation to accept what God calls an abomination. And so can we have that happen and then not expect our Father to discipline us? Can we be a nation of drunkards and try to numb ourselves so that we can deal with the consequences of our own rebellion and wickedness? Can we take the lives of infants in the womb, and even in some states, once they're out of the womb and abort them? Can we just let a child lay on a table and die? Can we let the elderly in our nursing homes and in our hospitals just die and expect that God, the God of the Bible now, that God is just going to turn his head and look away? Well, I think maybe the Lord is saying, hey, Christian, it's time to wake up. Hey, America, it's time to wake up. It's time for you. You've wandered off. You've gotten astray. And it's time for you to get back to me. It's time for you to get back to church. It's time for you to get rid of all those fake Bibles and get you a real Bible and get in that Bible and find out who I am. And God is probably saying to us those very things. I'm just not sure that anybody is listening. Christian, listen. Could God be saying, you took your church for granted? You took your church for granted. So how do you like it now when you cannot go to your church? How are you liking that? Well, folks, I think if anything, what this ought to do is get America back to church. I mean, isn't it a little disconcerting to you that the liquor stores are open and the abortion clinics are running full speed, but the churches have to be closed? And I'll be honest with you, folks. I don't think anyone is listening to what God is saying to this country. The economy in this nation is dangling right now by a frayed thread. Could God be saying, how do you like it now that I have taken away your God? How do you like it now that I have taken away your God, the God of money? What if they cannot quit playing politics in Washington, D.C., and the American economy crashes? What then? What then? I mean, what if the nation, the economy of this nation crashes? I'll tell you what then? The rest of the world crashes behind us. What if God says, you won't listen to me, so I will just take away your God so that you have nowhere else to turn except for turning to me? Oh my. Folks, I'm telling you, we better wake up and we better listen to what God has to say. But I want you to notice, think about this now, sometimes God has to punish us. But then notice there is pain in that punishment. There is pain in the suffering. The Hebrew word afflicted here has the idea of misery, of suffering, of pain that is just bred into it. And that is exactly what it says, what it is saying in Hebrews 12:11. Are you still there? I'm not, but I can get there real quick. In Hebrews 12:11, here the Bible says, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So the writer of Hebrews is saying right here, no spanking, no affliction, no trouble that we have to face that is sent our way by God. And remember, nothing is by accident. God is in complete control. No chastening for the present seems joyous. Instead, that affliction is grievous. You see, the bottom line is, folks, affliction hurts. It hurts. My mom used to say, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. And I always thought, yeah, but it's going to hurt me in a different place than what it hurts you. You see, getting a spanking was not a joyous thing. And then one time, my mother, when I got a little older, she grounded me for a week. And oh my, that was worse than the spanking. All my friends were out playing ball, and I had to come home and from school and sit in my room and was not allowed to go out. And she said, "We'll just give you a week in solitary confinement and see if that doesn't straighten your attitude a little bit." So my point is, folks, there is always pain, there is always suffering, there is always just a painful experience that we have to go through when you talk about the matter of affliction. And then thirdly, I want you to notice the sanctification from the affliction. Look at what David says here. He says, but now I have kept thy word. You see, but now, after, think about it now, after the affliction came, and he'd wandered away from God, after he'd gone astray, and the affliction then came, he says, now you've got my attention, God. Now I'm listening to what you have to say. Now I'm going to follow your word, Lord. It's just that simple. So notice the sanctification from the affliction. Now, Christian, just use reasoning here for a moment. The whole purpose behind discipline is to change behavior. And David's behavior certainly changed. That is the sanctification from the affliction. He got straightened out. David got his attitude right. David got his heart right. David got his mind right. And David says, now, but now have I kept thy word. I went astray because I stopped keeping the word of God. But then I was afflicted and the Lord gave me a serious spanking. And so I came running back and trusting the word of God. So God will sometimes use affliction to call us back to himself. Now, let me just say a couple things about affliction. First, I want us to think about the path of sanctification. You see, there is a method to what God does in our lives. There is value in that method, but there is a method. And so consider the path of sanctification. That word, sanctification, it simply means cleansing. It means to be pure, to be set apart, to be holy. So the path to cleansing, to sanctification, is found in those three little words, kept thy word. Sin does not walk in the path of the word of God, but sanctification does. If we want to be holy in our walk with God, we must be obedient to the word of God. And the world today mocks the word of God, literally mocks the Bible. They think the Bible is ridiculous and they want nothing to do with the Bible. And they mock those who believe the Bible and those who obey the Bible. But the people of God should honor the Word of God and strive to keep it daily in faith and in practice. A believer in the Lord should never act like the world and mock God's word. Remember a little earlier in this psalm, David said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." The path to sanctification, the path to cleansing is found in a right relationship with the word of God. Folks, that's why I keep challenging you over and over for the last 24, however many years it's been. I've challenged you to get in the book daily. Get in the Word of God. Why? Because right here in this book is the path to sanctification. The path to cleansing is found right here in the Bible. And then secondly, let's consider the product of sanctification. You see, I think the Lord allows affliction. He allows troubles and trials to afflict us, but there is always a purpose. Always a purpose. When David says, "Kept thy word," that is simply another way of saying that David was in the Word of God and obeying the Word of God. You see, we can thank God for these afflictions that we have to face because the afflictions can drive us back to the Word of God in obedience. Our afflictions may have been painful, but they can be and they should be profitable. Folks, that's why when you come in here to church on Sundays, when you did and when you're going to, that's why you come in here and we sing and we take an offering and we make announcements, and then I get up, or whoever I've designated to get up in my place, but I get up and I take the Bible. And I say to you, open your Bible. Now you just stop and think about that. For the last 24 and a half years, and for the 17 years before that, either Dr. Smith or me, as your pastor, have taken this Bible, laid it on this pulpit, and have said, open your Bible. I have never walked in here and said, open your Carroll County Times. You have never come to this church and heard me or anybody else say, open your Newsweek magazine. Open your encyclopedia. No, because none of those are a living word. This is the living word. None of those can help you to get closer to God. This can help you to get closer to God. So our afflictions may be painful, but they're profitable. If it gets you back in a right relationship with God and with His Word, where you are obeying the Word of God, then the affliction is very profitable. Folks, do you think America is going to spiritually wake up and get back to the Bible? Do you think that that's going to happen? With what I have seen since all of this started, I'm going to be honest with you, it sure doesn't look like anyone is connecting the dots between the afflictions that we are facing and returning to the Lord and to His Word. What we are seeing is the progressive left digging in and holding America hostage so they can try to force their agenda upon the country. Instead of a call to repentance, instead of a call to come back to the Lord, we are seeing the country just run away from God and from His Word. Could this be God's last warning to America? Could this be the final opportunity for a world that has rejected Jesus Christ, its Creator? Could this be the last opportunity for us to come back to God? I don't know what the world will do, but I sure hope God's people will say, well, I'm coming back to my Redeemer. I'm going to come back and get in the Bible. I'm going to come back and keep my heart close to God. Folks, listen, in this day of affliction, it's time that America opens its eyes, and it's time that God's people open their eyes, and it's time that we see that the Lord is calling us as a people back to Himself. After all, He is our strength and our refuge. You go back and look at our founding documents. God's all over them. Our founding fathers realized that God was in control. And I don't know how anybody could read those founding documents and say that God was not behind and blessing in the formation of this nation. We are a nation, our motto says, under God. And it's time we get back under God. If we don't, who knows what's going to happen? You say, Pastor, what do you think? Well, I think three things. Number one, either revival, and that I'm praying for that revival. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? Revival to sweep across this land, see millions of people, a great harvest of souls before the Lord Jesus comes at the rapture. So revival, number two, rapture, that could be. All right, what's going to happen? Well, could be revival. If not revival, then the rapture. And then thirdly, ruin. Ruin. Just a total destruction of everything we know as life in America. It's been a good run, hasn't it? Let's pray that we wake up and get another opportunity to serve God. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, thank you now for the Word of God. And I pray that you will bless the message this morning and help us as we think on these things. The world mocks, the world laughs, the world scorns. But Father, help our world to wake up. Help our nation to realize that afflictions are real. We are experiencing that. We're finding that out. But Father, help us to realize that they're not without purpose. I don't understand how folks can say, this is just happening. No. The God of heaven is always at work, always working in our hearts. There is a purpose. There is a reason. And Father, I pray you'll help us to wake up and see that purpose and that reason today. And if there is someone listening this morning and they need to get their hearts right with you, Father, I pray they'll take the time now while it's fresh on their minds. Turn to 1 John 1:9 and just claim that verse as their own. And Father, help us to confess our sin. And when we do, you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, Lord, we ask you to bless. If there's someone listening who is not saved, I pray that today will be the day of salvation for those souls. So, Father, bless now. Give us a good day. And I pray you'll help us to tune in tonight. And, Lord, just give us your blessing this day. Again, we pray for our people. Pray a hedge of thorns around our people, just like Hosea prayed for his wife. And Lord, I pray that you will bless and honor our prayer. We love you, Father. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.